سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. So another lesson that we're having, reading from the Book of Knowledge by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And last week we read the hadith related to the diligence of the Imam of Abu Huraira, the companion of the Rahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi, in seeking knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that hadith, it shows that Abu Huraira was diligent, and he was known for his diligence. And this was something which was indicated by the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the Shafa'ah. And he mentioned that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to divide his night into three portions. And this was actually mentioned by him himself, as you have in the Jami' of Imam al-Khatib, Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ جَزَأْتُ الْبَيْنَ ثَلَاثَ أَجْزَاءَ. Abu Huraira said, I have divided my night, I divided the night in three portions. ثُلُثًا أُصَلِّي, a third I pray. وَثُلُثًا أَنَا, a third I sleep. وَثُلُثًا أُذَاكِرُ فِيهِ حَدِيثَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the last third I review and I practice the hadiths of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this was the practice of Abu Huraira, that he used to divide his night into three. And that was also mentioned, also Khatib al-Baghdadi in the same book, he mentioned how that it was also the way of Amr ibn Dinar, that he used to also do the same, he used to also do the same thing, he used to divide his night into three, a portion for standing, a portion for sleeping, and a portion for studying the hadith. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu was known for his diligence, and that's why he's known for being amongst the Muqarrin of al-Hadith, from amongst those being known for his many narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with Jabir, along with Anas, along with Aisha, along with Ibn Abbas, and along with Ibn Umar. Now, and this hadith informs about the Shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is reported in Sahih Bukhari and others, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, has shafa'at al-kubra, he has the greatest of shafa'at, and that is that he will, there is actually several hadiths about the shafa'at, of the different intercessions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can find those in the books of I'tiqah, you can find those in the books of Aqidah. But from all of them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would intercede for all of the people on the Day of Judgment, disbelievers and the believers, so that Allah azza wa jalla, he would intercede that Allah azza wa jalla begin the reckoning. That's one of the shafa'ahs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have a shafa'ah for the people of his ummah, those who do not commit shirk. Those who do not commit shirk. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith that every Prophet had something he had a request. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said every Prophet and Messenger had a request that Allah granted. And very I have reserved my request for Yawm al-Qiyamah. I would use it to intercede for the people of my ummah who do not commit shirk. I would use it to intercede for the people of my ummah who do not commit shirk. Likewise, it's authentically recorded that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede for his uncle. He will intercede for his uncle Abu Talib, who is the father of Ali. He will intercede for his uncle because his uncle was the individual who protected him until he died. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will show my uncle, and he is in the lowest part of the hellfire. I will intercede to Allah for the Prophet will place him in the higher part of the hellfire, meaning Allah will place him in the part of the hellfire where he receives less punishment. So he won't intercede for his uncle to get out of the hellfire because that's forbidden. Forbidden for an individual who in the home and you should have been that because الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار ذلك أبدا من الشرك. يعني بعد ذلك Allah has forbidden paradise for him and his destination will be the hellfire and there is no assistance for the disbelievers. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would intercede for his uncle to receive less punishment in the hellfire. Now, moving on to the next hadith, which is the hadith of how will knowledge be lifted, how will the knowledge be taken away. Imam al-Bukhari mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala that كيف يقبض العلم وقد ابن عمر ابن عبد العزيز الى ابي بكر بن حزم انظر ما كان من حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاكتبه فاني خفت دروس العلم وذهاب العلماء ولا تقبل الا حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولتفش العلم ولتجلس حتى يعلم ما من لا يعلم فإن العلم لا يحدث حتى يكون سرا. حدثنا على بن عبد الجبار قال حدثنا عبد العزيز بن مسلم عبد الله بن دينار في ذلك يعني حديث عمر بن عبد العزيز الى قوله لاجتهاد العلماء. نعم الحديث هو actually a narration. It's a narration of Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى goes to in this chapter and before we begin the narration chapter, the chapter how will knowledge be lifted? Yes, the reality is knowledge will be lifted, knowledge will not remain. So this is important that we understand this ni'mah that we are presently living in, and that we're presently living in, that we still have the books, we still have the Quran, we have the books that explain the Quran, which are the books of tafsir. We have the books that explain the Sunnah, which are the books of Sunnah, the Sahih al-Bukhari, the Sahih Muslim, the Kutub al-Sittah, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the Jama' of Imam al-Tirmidhi, the Sunnah of Abu Dawud, the Sunnah of Ibn al-Nasa'i, and the Sunnah of Ibn Majah of Kutub al-Sittah. We have the Muslim of Imam Ahmad. And not only do we have these books, but we have these books which are printed in the most, eloquent of fashion. These books are printed on good prints and the likes of them. These books are still present. And not only are the books present, but the individuals that explain the books to us also, the ulama, they are still present. You still have the ulama, those who teach us the religion, the true religion, teach us the tawheed, teach us the sunnah, teach us the correct implementation. You still have the ulama that is still alive. You can visit these ulama, you can sit with these ulama, you can walk with them from their houses to the masjid and from the masjid to their house. You can visit them in their offices, you can visit them in their homes, you can attend their lessons in the masjid. So you still have the knowledge, but the knowledge is going to be lifted. It is going to be lifted, that is a reality, that is something for us to contemplate over and to act upon. It's going to be lifted, we have to move, we have to put it to preserve it. And when it comes from the fiqh of Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he brings the narration from one of them, one of the Sahaba, to show you how they were diligent and how they understood this affair. He brought the narration of Amr ibn Abdulaziz, who was considered the Khalid of Khulafa al-Rashidin, and they gave him that nickname because he was very righteous and known for his piety and he was known for his strict adherence to the Sunnah, even though he died in his victory. Even though he died in his late 30s. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and he's from the grand great grandchildren of Umar ibn Khattab. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he was the ruler. He was the ruler at that time of Muslims. He wrote to Abu Bakr ibn Hazm. Abu Bakr ibn Hazm was an individual that was actually from amongst the Tabi'een, and he was very knowledgeable. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz placed him over Medina. He placed him over Medina. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz wrote to him and he said, "Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, حديث رسول الله." Look, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz came to realization, although he only lived in a few years after the death of the companion. When I was in the beginning of the Islam. So in the beginning of the Islam, he lived after the death of the companion. But look what he's doing. He wrote to one of the scholars and he said, "Look to that which has come by from narration of the Prophet. Write it down. Write it down." You know, said, write it down. And for Burnley, I fear that knowledge will be lost. The rules today, and the rules here, it doesn't mean the lesson of knowledge. No, it means the passing away, the meaning, and the abandonment of knowledge. I fear knowledge will be lost, that the scholars will pass away. Look at that. You know, a few years after the death of the companions. I mean, this is not 100 years, 200 years, 300 years. What is only a few years after the death of the companions? And he already is fearing. That knowledge is going to be lost. When I talk about in the hadith and the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and don't accept anything except that it is authentically recorded from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One to show and then spread the knowledge. These statements are tremendous. We're going to read it and then we're going to stop each statement. Spread the knowledge. One intention is to have the yu'adhima man la ya'lam. Sit. So that the people who don't know will learn. فإن العلم لا يحلق حتى يكون سرا فالنعرض will not be lost until it's private. It's only done in private, it's not for the public. This is a narration of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Now let's go back. Look. Search. Do something. I just sit there. And he tells Abu Bakr ibn Hazm, he says, search for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now just sit there. We live in our lives day and night. Morning, sunset, night, sun, upon the morning, the sunrise, the night, sunset, and we haven't increased in anything. We haven't done anything. To get closer to our Lord, Barakat Allah, and the pleasure of our Lord. He said, search for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Write it down. That tells you that from knowledge, that knowledge is written. And because of that, you had the statements of the ulama about writing the knowledge. Like that, you know, we already mentioned the statement of Abu Hurairah said that, you know, I divide my night. A portion of it, I used to review the hadith of the Prophet. Although, look at this issue about writing knowledge. Abu Hurairah said, there's no one more knowledgeable of the hadith, or no one has more narrations about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than me, except Abdullah bin Amr bin Aas. He said, Abdullah bin Amr bin Aas used to write the hadith down, and I never used to write the hadith down. So Abu Hurairah had memorized the hadith. Abdullah bin Amr bin Aas wrote down the hadith, so he had more hadith. Although he didn't have more hadith, but he had written down more hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So write it down. And that tells you, you know, in order for knowledge to be preserved, it has to be written. It has to be written. Because of that, she was mentioned, that was mentioned by some of the ulama, the columns of the ulama, and from the present of the ulama, that she said, Imam Khabi Hafiq Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned. He said, from one mouth to your own tool, he said, for many people will die. فَإِذَا لَمْ يُدَوَّ لِلْعِلْمِ أَلَّذِي حَفِظُهُ عِنْدَ رَسَ الْعِلْمِ. So if the knowledge is not written, that which the scholars have memorized, the knowledge will be lost. لِذَا فَإِنُّ الْكِتَابَ قَيْدٍ لِلْعِلْمِ. And because of that, writing is preservation of the knowledge. Writing is preservation of knowledge. Because the reality is, if we don't have these books, then how would our children come to know anything? How would the later generation come to know anything? Then what is that? How does Allah have to create? There are scholars that can explain things to us, but they explain to what? They explain to us that which is in the books. They explain to us that which is present in the books. So you need the books and you need the scholars. You need the books and you need the scholars. And you need the scholars more than you need the books because if the scholars take from the books, that they teach it to the people, then you still have the knowledge. But if the scholars are no longer present, but you still have the books, then you no longer have the wisdom and the understanding. You no longer have the wisdom and the understanding. And verily, our Lord will not attend both to us. Our Lord tells us that which is maktub, our Lord will not attend that which is written, and our Lord will not attend us an individual to explain it. Our Lord, I will get an individual to explain it.
So reality is, writing down the knowledge is very important. And because of that, Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi here in the book called Taqjeed al-Ilm, writing the knowledge. In the book titled Taqjeed al-Ilm, writing the knowledge. Now, and then he says, so right now, primarily I fear the abandonment and the going away of knowledge. And this should be something, this is how the Muslims are concerned about one another. We don't just think about, and this reality that I'm about to shed some light on, is not only taken from the statement of Muhammad ibn Abdul-Aziz, but it's taken from the action of the Sahaba, it's taken from the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were concerned about the coming generations. They were concerned, how are they going to learn, know their religion? How are they going to practice? How are they going to implement? How are they going to know the Quran, the Sunnah, the Tawheed? How are they going to know it? Let's do something for the next generations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions to what? Individuals came to the companions. One of them used to write down the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, you write everything this man says. One of those companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, they're speaking to me because I write down everything you say. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Uktub. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, write for one that you nafsi bi yadi ma yakhruju minha qadil al-haq. Okay, my God. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, write down my actions, write down my statements, because I swear by the one who my hand is in, my soul is in his hand, nothing comes from his tongue except if it is true. Nothing comes from his tongue except if it is true. So the Prophet said, the Prophet did it. The Sahaba, Abu Huraira, Aisha, Jabir, Anis, Ibn Abbas, they were diligent. The companions of the Tabi'in, they were diligent. And what made them of Bukhari or Imam al-Qadha? Day and night. Year after year after year, write down the hadith of the Prophet, except that he was writing it for the coming generations. Imam Ahmed, thousands of hadith. What made him under the moonlight? Imam Bukhari said the same thing under the moonlight. I wrote thousands of hadith under the moonlight. Imam Bukhari writing under the moonlight. What made these individuals write down this information? Individuals who, you know, stayed at Imam Bukhari's house at night said, I forgot how many times he got up at night. Something of knowledge came to him, so he got up at night, he lit the lantern, and he went down the knowledge, and he went back to sleep. One of his students said, I forgot how many times he got up at night, so many times he got up at night. What made Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala write this knowledge right on the walls while he was in jail, right on the skins of animals? What made these individuals write, preserve the knowledge, study the knowledge, and write the knowledge? Because they were concerned with the coming generations. Now, and then it said, and do not accept anything except the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this is important. So if you say the Muslim, he said, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْحَقِّ. This is that which is true. لَأَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزْ أَنْ يَنْصَبْ عَبِ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam إِنَّا مَا قَعَلَهُ أَوْ فَعَلَهُ أَوْ أَقَفَ عَلَيْهِ. Because we cannot attribute to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not possible for us to attribute to the Prophet except what he really said, except what he really did, or except that which he approved. What he said, what he did, what he approved. This is called the Sunnah. What the Prophet said, what the Prophet did, or what the Prophet approved of. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذه Sunnah النبي. This is the Sunnah of the Prophet. المصورة في هذه الأنواع الثلاثة. It is encompassed in all of these three things. What he said, what he did, what he approved of. قولوا وفعلوا وتقريروا ولا يجوز أن ينسب إلى رسول الله إلى رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا ما قاله أو فعله أو أقر عليه رواه الحدود عن الحدود. And the individual that narrated, they were acceptable and reliable. Individuals who were trustworthy, known for their honesty, acceptable and reliable. فما كان من ضعيف فلا يقبل. If an individual is known to be weak, you do not accept the narration from him. Yes, إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah says, we send out our reminder and we will protect it. And that the scholars say that this ayah also informs that the sunnah will be protected. Because the reminder will not be understood. The reminder, which is the Quran, will not be understood except with the sunnah. And because of that, إمام إمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى فهو أعلم فأعلم أن الإسلام هو سنة وسنة هو الإسلام. Know that Islam is the Sunnah and the Sunnah is the Islam. You can't separate them. So Allah says, verily we have sent down the reminder and verily we are protected. So if we want to understand that reminder, we have to know the Sunnah. We have to know the Sunnah. So the Sunnah is otherwise protected. The Quran is protected from Allah and the Sunnah is protected from the Muhaddithun. And the Sunnah is protected from the Muhaddithun. فَلَا يَقْبَلُ وَالْأَحَدِيثُ الدَّعِيفَ. So we do not accept the weak hadith. With regard to that, before I move on, there was something I wanted to mention. And that was some time ago, I believe last year, I gave a lecture. And it was about, some of the hadiths were taken from Sahih Bukhari, and that was, especially some of the speech of Sheikh Zayd with regards to teaching and the women, the importance of teaching women. And I gave it to some assistance group in London. And in that lecture, we spoke about the disappearance of knowledge. We spoke about the disappearance of knowledge. And at that time, one of the narrations I was reading from a book of Sheikh Muhammad Imam, called Rafa'il, the book of Sheikh Muhammad Imam, Hafizullah Ta'ala, is called The Disappearance of Knowledge and the Listing of Knowledge. Over there at Harvard, the narration was then more authentic, except one narration, I think it came to my knowledge that that narration was weak. And in fact, it came to my knowledge that that narration was very weak. And that was the narration where it said towards the end of the narration that no scholar dies except that it leaves a gap in Islam and it will never be fulfilled. It will never be filled. In that kind of struggle of Islam, except that a gap will be left. When a scholar dies, a gap will be left in Islam and it won't be filled. Knowledge has come to me that Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that that hadith is mawdu'a, meaning that hadith attributed to the Prophet is an actual lie. Meaning, in the chain of narration there is a liar. In the chain of narration there is a liar. So I want to inform of that. You know, at that time I was reading it from the book of Shaykh Muhammad Imam Hafizullah ta'ala. It came to my knowledge that that hadith is not authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I did some research and I found out some of the meaning of it. You know, some might accept the meaning of the hadith and actually it's also the statement of some of the companions, but to say that the Prophet said this or having a liar in the chain of narration is considered normal. So I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I seek his forgiveness for mentioning that hadith from the knowledge came to me later on. But I want to come back to the rest of the lecture is inshallah befitting or connected in the future. But that narration knowledge has come to me that that narration wasn't authentic. So Umar ibn Abdulaziz is saying to this individual Abi Bakr to look from what's authentic. Write it down. I fear the knowledge will be lost. Do not accept that which is authentic and reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, "What is tufshu al-ilm?" He said, "Tufshu al-ilm, spread the knowledge." Sheikh Zayd al-Makhali says, "Tawjihun wa irshadun tullab al-ilm an yanshuru kulla ma bihasbihi aw kullu bihasbi ma indahu min al-ilm." He said, "This is a guidance and direction for the student of knowledge that they should spread the knowledge according to what they have. They should spread the knowledge according to what they have. وَلَكِنْ يَجِبْ أَتَّقِي أَنْ تُنْشَرْ أَنْ تَنْشُرْ مَا عِلْمَكَ مِنْ الْعِلْمِ فِي حُدُودِ مَا عَرَفْتَ وَتَقَيِّدْ وَتَيَقَّنْ." But you should limit yourself to that which you are certain of, the true knowledge that you have. Then he says, towards the end of skipping some, and this is because people are in need of this knowledge. People are in need of knowledge. You have to get what's not the Ahkam of Islam and halal wa haram. People need to know the rules of Islam, that was halal and that was haram. Then Umar ibn Abdulaziz continues, and he's going to continue. We're going to read a lot of this speech from Sheikh Zayd Hafizullah Ta'ala. That's why I said, you know, the benefit of having a present day Adam, you know, great scholar, senior scholar, to explain the Book of Knowledge from Sahih Bukhari is very tremendous, very tremendous. And she's even more probably happy than I'm done with a wonderful job to explain this book in a way that I come recently on many of his books, and his explanations are being printed. So this is a great benefit for the whole world, and it's a year of our lives, which I'm so we buy our weapons and if you can get a hold of the copies. And they have this in tape on CDs, and they have the books. If you can get a hold of the copies of the books of Chick Day, it's wonderful. These books are of tremendous benefit. Then Omar ibn Abdulaziz says, one touch issu hatta ju'adzima man la ya'lam sit. So that the people don't know can learn. Chick Day says, وَهَذَا مَحَرُومْ شَرْعًا وَعَقْلًا أَنَّ النَّاسِ لَا يَفْرَحُونَ الدِّينَ إِلَّا بِوَاقِقًا وَعَدْ This is not incorrect. That the people will not learn their religion except by way of teachers. Except by way of teacher. But if they get it, then Allah has been all of them, and that's just a fantastic creation. So if the teachers sit, and this is a reminder for the students that they have to give it up. They have to sit for the people. He said, if the teachers sit, the people will sit. When the mitzvah is adam, if the mitzvah is nas, yachod ul'ilm, when it's fakahu fiddin, but if the scholar does not sit, then all the people are going to sit with. Then it's the moskin. It's the moskin, it should be the religion, because if the people with knowledge, if the people with tawhid, if the people are the sunnah, defending the sunnah, according to the sunnah, if the people that are on istiqamah don't sit, don't make themselves available to the people, then aren't the people going to learn the religion? Shaykh Zayd is going to talk about that. He says, so I'm going to talk about the religion. He says, so the affair of a student of knowledge is important, and his presence is extremely important. فإن لا أن يجبس طالب العلم أن يتمكن للناس فيكسب العدل وتظهر الذلة ويخرج من تحت مقعد الكتمان. So he said, so either the student will want to sit, the student will have become firm, either he's going to sit, and he'll take the reward, and he frees himself of blame for considering knowledge. وإن لا أن يتساعد في الغرور ويصوت ويعمل إلى غيره فيبقى الناس في جهل. فيكون حينئذ مسؤولا عن التقصير الذي وقع فيه. So either he's going to sit, or he's going to be negligent. He's going to say, oh, I will put in the future, the basic hypocrisy. If he doesn't sit to the people, he doesn't make himself available. And he looks at other people, not doing anything, not benefiting. فيكون ناسو في جهل, so the people remain in ignorance. فيقول حينئذ مسؤولا عن التقصير, then the student, the blame falls back on the student. وإذا كان الأمر كذلك, if this is their affair, فلابد من جلوس طلاب العلم. If this is their affair, then it is incumbent upon the students to sit with the people. الذين يمكن أن يستفاد منه للناس, those the people can sit and learn from. So I don't think that that is either they sit in the masjid, but I don't know how to, this is the origin. The origin is that you can teach the people in the masjid. How we go to the hotel, and Muhammad is all you sit in different gatherings. There is a lot of speech from Sheikh Zayd. Sheikh Zayd has a lot of speech. Talking about the importance of sitting with the people. Talking about the importance of the student being, making himself accountable. And even though, I'm not going to celebrate all of it because it's going to take time, but even though I want to say, if you just keep it in your house, and only a few people can attend, then what is left for the rest of the people? What is left for the rest of the people? So he said the origin is that the student goes to the masjid and he teaches the people. So that the people that can't make it here, the people that can't fit into your home, the people that don't even know where you live, everyone has access. And this was tremendous. It's a very, very wonderful benefit from Jesus. How do you go along with that? Now, the thing is that, when they mentioned in the hadith, and all this advocacy is a great encouragement for the students, great encouragement for the students. Now, there was one of the hadith of the chapter, so this chapter began with a narration from Muhammad ibn Abdulaziz.
passed away. Now you have the life of Shikha.
some manner of holding. You have the likes of Ayn Khomri, you have the likes of Yusuf Estes, you have the likes of Hamza Yusuf, you have the likes of Shadeed Muhammad, you have the likes of these individuals leading the whole history when I was in there. They're like, well, that'll make us all fun. No. Then you go
when the author Rahimullah Ta'ala goes on to mention the next chapter,
which is the chapter Had Yusha and Nisha Yomo Ada Hidatin Fikrayama. Do you make
a female, so the day be fixed for the females to seek knowledge?
Now, inshallah, the evening of Ta'ala, we will continue that chapter. We'll continue that chapter next week, Bismillah Ta'ala. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barakatuh.